Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello. Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Brief, a place to discuss and enjoy all aspects of the written brevity. I would like to thank Phil and Pam for all the work they do. I just wanted to throw that in there. They keep everything going and running so smoothly. And a shout out to our Naomi, who we hope will be back with us very, very soon. We miss you. Now, it's a great pleasure to welcome my co-host, Pam Ray. I'm afraid Diane is having a bit of a problem with her computer and won't be with us today. So can I just say, when you're able, hello, Pam, and come on in.
Well, hello there. How's it going?
Oh, I have been without my internet most of the day. That's why I was a little bit late in getting in.
Oh, I know. That's always a bit nerve-wracking. And yeah, I get it because I was watching the countdown in the studio and it had like 10 seconds until the intro song was starting. And I'm like, neither one of them are on here.
I'm so sorry. And I've only just got on and got Diane. I just got on and got Diane's message as well. So she did let me know, but because I couldn't get online, I couldn't see it. So We're here.
Right.
We're here,
right.
My God.
I get it. But you know what? Those small panic attacks in life that keep me youthful, keeps my heart strong, you know.
Mine's in my throat at the moment. Wow. Oh, dear.
Well, it looks like you have a great lineup of poetry tonight, or this morning, or whatever time of day it is.
Yes.
Goodness only knows.
Yes. So it's up to you entirely. Would you like to bring in the commenters, or would you like to paste to the boards?
Well, you know what? I feel like this is your show. I'm just filling in because, you know, Diane can't make it, which is absolutely fine. So I much prefer that we do it this way. But, of course, the final decision is yours, because I'll just do what you want. But I feel like you should leave comments, post in Brevity Writers, and then I will post in Late Night Poets, if that works for you.
That works wonderfully. Thank you so much. I'm just going to get myself onto the board that I need. Ah, la, 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 la. See, pre-organization is the name of the game, not in this household. Okay, let's get started. We have some carryovers from a fortnight ago. So shall we start with them? I think that's a good idea. So I'm going to put the first one up. And make sure, yes, I'm in Brevity. There we are. Just wanted to make sure I was in the right place. I sent one to you once, I think, by mistake. Ah, dear. Oh, so we have Self-Reflection by Matt 29, and I will start doing this. And by the way, if anybody would like to call in, we would love to have another voice or two. It just makes things so much more interesting, well, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so now we've got, that's a nervous laugh. I do apologize. I'm going to stop doing that. Self-revelation is the school of wisdom. Pondering is often misunderstood. When I was younger, it was daydreaming. Now it's understood as self-reflection, an art of theorizing what action to take. Open yourself up to the wisdom within. Just listen to the silent whispers, hearing the unspoken knowledge, follow through with your instincts. Allowing yourself to believe, tread where you haven't trod before. Experience seeing the guiding lights, learning from the school of wisdom. End poem. Ah. Right, Pam, my dear, what did you think of that?
Well, first of all, wonderful read there. And what a beautiful and thoughtful write by Matt 29. You know, I think it's a great reflection of the prompt. And I like how it speaks on the idea that our outlook on ourselves changes over the years. And all the way through, it was really nice. But I especially did like that second stanza, opening yourself up to the wisdom within, just listening to the silent whispers, hearing the unspoken knowledge, following through with your instincts. I think too oftentimes people don't trust those gut feelings, those instincts that they have about, say, a person or a situation. And that second stanza speaks really well on the idea of learning to trust your inner wisdom. So very well done.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That is perfect. Exactly what I was thinking. I'm saying that because you said it now, so I can copy. I'm so fine. Being yourself up to the wisdom within, opening yourself up to the wisdom within, just listening to the silent whispers. Now, that is something that we think we are doing instinctively, because everybody we meet, every voice we hear, every gesture, every act is filed away. And you must have felt it yourself. You meet somebody and your first instinct is, I don't trust you, or I love you. You know, that's the way it goes, because your mind goes through all these filing cabinets and says, right, that's one we don't trust, and that's an instinct we don't like. And so that's kind of how it works, which I think is amazing. It's a pity we can't use all of our brains all of the time. Just imagine how interesting conversations would be. I remember in 2044, oh, really? Yes, I liked this a lot. I thought this, I know, sorry, I'm off on a tangent again. I think this is very cleverly written. And I actually kind of, I don't know whether this is meant, and my apologies if it wasn't meant, Matt, but please believe I think it's very clever. It seems to be a few little cliches in there and oxymorons. I love oxymorons. They're like my favorite thing. They're said most of the time without realizing. But when people are doing it on purpose, it's actually excellent. It's like opening yourself up to the wisdom within, just listening to the silent whispers. And that's a perfect one, isn't it? Hearing the unspoken knowledge. Again, you see, perfect. So yes, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Okay. Next we have, Somber Arias by Luyu Wild Dove. Put that on the board. And, okay, have you got that? Would you care to read that for us, please, Pam?
I would be happy to. All right, this is Sombre Arias by Luyu Wild Dove. And it goes like this. Season's moon, her moonlight-hued strands, twine, blanch, shrouds from death's night wake, fairest face, single singed death. Waxy grimace strolls, Ikliba, Ikliba dish, cherry blossoms, ill-starred, stifling night jars, nocturnal songs, loveth still, eaves, rainy sprays, moonbeams, morning, spring dew, bare down, pale red-rimmed lips, gleaming flower, bleeding, loneliness, fate, ending sorrow, end poem.
Oh, beautiful. Very well read. Thank you so much. Oh, this is lovely coming for our Luyu. Isn't that nice? And look at the lovely picture. Gillian Lloyd Webb, Seasons, Moons, Her Moonlight Hue Strands, Twin Blanch Shrouds from Death's Night Wake. Oh my, that is deep. I like it. Bare down, pale red rimmed lips, gleaming flower, bleeding, weeping, loneliness, fate, ending sorrow. Oh, that really is lovely. Really is. It's very, very sad, but very beautifully written. So thank you so much, Luyu, for allowing us to hear that. Your thoughts?
Oh, I really like this. It's an absolutely beautiful brevity, strong imagery and metaphors with a great emotional impact. I like how she starts with the phrase season's moon, her moonlight hued strands. It makes you think of the passing of time. And then the German of I love you, I love you was really nice touch. Love is still, eyes, rainy sprays, moonbeams, morning, spring dew. You really, it's so dark and haunting the way it speaks on both simultaneously love and death that you truly get the impression of someone who has lost their true love and is mourning that loss. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yes, thank you, definitely. She's just a little darling. Okay, next one we have is, it's self-reflection. Oh, no, it's not. Hang on, I would have done that. Where's it gone? Oh, refresh my page. I seem to have lost what I just sent. It's going to be one of those days. In fact, it's going to be one of those lives, I think. Yeah, we've got it. So it's Fakes Versus Nature's Own by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And I will read this one. Fakes Versus Nature's Own by Kitty the Naughty Poet. Treading the line on the tips of my toes, wondering what way will I land. The grass is green on both sides, but one is a fake and the other, and the smile on my face, while the other is nature's own. Oh, sorry, I'm backed up. Okay, let me do those last two lines. I do apologize. But one is as fake as the smile on my face, while the other is nature's own. Excellent. That was beautifully written. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. I like this very much. So much said in just a few words. And I like how she takes the saying, the grass is greener on the other side, and, you know, how people, and oftentimes, you know, it applies to being jealous of other people and their life, or even, you know, you get the impression, or at least I do, in this brevity, that here's a person trying to make a decision. Perhaps they're trying to decide between two possible relationships, you know, romantic or friendships, and, you know, you're weighing out the pros and cons, and the idea that, yes, the grass is greener, but why is it greener? You know, it's because it's fake. I like, but one is as fake as the smile on my face. You know, that idea that, you know, that is not what brings you true happiness, that you have to walk away from anything in life that's a falsehood and, you know, brings sorrow. So excellent brevity and very well done.
Agree. This was so much packed into so few words. Very clever, Kitty. I really enjoyed this. The beauty of this particular picture is the fact that you can tell instantly which is fake and which is real. But that's not true in real life. It's not as easy as that, unfortunately. We all wish it was, that you could tell the good from the bad, the fake from the natural. But unless it's actually something very obvious, it's not going to be that easy, is it? And I think that's why we become quite wary as life goes on. We become a little bit more, we test things a little bit more. We find out, we go on Google a lot more. Thank goodness for Google. Yeah, I think this is beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It's just so clever, isn't it? I'm sorry I mucked up your line the way. I do apologize for that, Kitty. But one is as fake as a smile on my face, I thought was a brilliant line, and I wish I'd got it right the first time. Anyway, I loved it. I thought it was marvelous. And thank you so much for allowing us to see that. And we shall go on to the next. And the next one is Nocturne 2 by Jati Primasta. Oh, yes, I've heard Jati's work before. Very good. I don't know if you're supposed to be allocating readers, Pam. I just need to be going ahead and blundering
no,
in here.
No, go ahead and do that.
Okay.
You go ahead and do that.
Okay, well, there's only two of us. It's not going to be that difficult, I hope. probably will be, though. Many a word spoken in jest, as they say. Okay, this. Would you care to read this one, please? Nocturne 2.
I would be happy to. Nocturne 2 by Jati Primasthaya. The sun is hiding behind the horizon, snatching the spark of light away. The moon reigns sovereign with 1,000 stars under her sway. The children of the night are gathering, howling, hooting, and chanting as they dance around the black altar, an obsidian to her, the sky afar. Oh, and I'm sorry, an obsidian to her in the sky afar. How I long to be in their company, to sing, to dance, to worship the mystery, for my life is but a ceaseless misery, and my days have been spent in agony. How I long to be drowned in eternal sleep and forget everything in the darkness deep. End poem.
Oh, that is really good. I like that. The sun is hiding behind the horizon, snatching the spark of light away from the moon's reign sovereign with 1,000 stars under her sway. So here we have, which is the most powerful, the light or the dark, the good or the bad? The children of the night are gathering, howling, hooting, and chanting. Well, they seem to be having a good time. That's okay. They're dancing around the black altar. And oh, yeah, I see. Right. I was right. It is between the good and the bad. Anyway, but they're enjoying it. They're having a dance. They're worshipping the mystery. For my life is but a ceaseless misery, and my days have been spent in agony. Oh, my goodness. That is... I hope this is your amazing imagination, Jackie. I hope this is nothing to do with how you feel, because I mean, I must admit, I wouldn't mind being drowned in eternal sleep. It would be a novelty. But I don't think that should be for you. Definitely not. So let's think. Let's just say this is your imagination and a wonderful imagination. And everything is fine and dandy. So thank you so much for this write. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like this. I feel like it works nicely in two parts. The first couple of stanzas, and has great rhyme flow, wonderful imagery, and great word choicing. I really like the moon reigns sovereign with 1,000 stars under her sway. I feel like that would make a great contest prompt. It's such a beautiful line. But I like how the first two stanzas speak on the idea of having reverence for the nighttime because of the music and mysticism that you can find within it. And then the last stanza and the ending couplet, which is absolutely beautiful, speak on what it's like to deal with depression and just, you know, want to hide in within sleep and, you know, away from life and shut everything off. It's just beautifully written all the way through and very well done.
Yes, I totally agree that there's so much depth to this. Really good. Thank you, Elizabeth. And the next we have up is, oh no, I've got politics jumping up in front of me. I hate that. We've got Self-Reflection by Peter Allen. Oh, Selena, you can come and go as you like, my darling, just as long as you're here most of the time. Selena says she's going to be in and out a lot.
That's understandable.
Oh, yes. So I love that. I love the little messages, don't you? I don't always get a chance to read them because I get so sort of wired up. But, yeah, it's nice to have a glance occasionally. So this is Self-Reflection by Peter Allen, and I shall read this one. I'm sure it must be my turn. Self-reflection is the school of wisdom. Within lies the treasured books of eternal truth. There you will discover the joy at the point where the rainbow begins. Then you can touch the rain in the moonlight. Read the writing etched in the stars. To become the moon shining on your own mirror sea, to radiate the light that spring the eternal peace of enlightenment. Time will be given wings to fill your week with more than 7 days of happiness. End poem. Ah, that was lovely. And Pam, your reflections, please.
Oh, I like that. My reflection. This is just absolutely beautiful. I really like there you will discover the joy at the point where the rainbow begins. Then you can touch the rain in the moonlight. I like the use of nature imagery used as a metaphor, used as a metaphor and to go with that inner reflection, that self-reflection, where true happiness, true peace and enlightenment is found. I really like the ending too, where it says, time will be given wings to fill your week with more than 7 days of happiness. And I like the phrase, more than 7 days of happiness. Because, you know, it's the idea that once you find that inner peace, you don't worry about what each individual week is going to be like, because you know there's going to be a sense of joy and contentment in your life no matter what. So wonderful write by Peter Allen and very well done. Are you on mute, Kate?
I thought I'd just taken myself off. I put myself back on. What a twit. Not happy being not in mute. I decided to put myself in mute and still talk. Honestly. But I'm here. I'm here. I'm here in body but not in spirit. Yes, I thought this was incredible. I thought this was so clever and so sweet. Then you can touch the rain in the moonlight. Read the writing etched in the stars. Ah, it's just lovely. To become the moon shining on your own mirror. See, I like that one. To radiate the light, the spring, the eternal peace of enlightenment. I want to be enlightened so much. Beautifully done, Peter. I really enjoyed it. And I know you'll forgive my my daftness. You know, I can't be very serious for very long, but I thought it was wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing. Oh, yes, good. I just wanted to see if we had Stelina with us because I wanted to put her poem up while she was with us and not while she was away somewhere or offline or whatever happened. So here we have Footprints in the Sand by Stelina. And Pam, would you please read this for us because you'll do it beautifully.
Well, I will definitely be more than happy to read it, but I make no promises on the beauty of it, so of my reading.
With that disclaimer being said,
this is Footprints in the Sand by Stelina. Where does love go when it leaves, abandoning the heart which to another cleaves, dissipating like footprints in the sand, walking away to another more alluring land? Kisses once so sweet to you have now turned sour. When did it fade? I can't recall the moment or hour. Long, lonely days stretching afar like the ocean vast, with poignant memories taunting from a halcyon past. Piercingly painful, yet reluctant to let them go. Still summer has to end, then comes the winter snow, to freeze them in time, to awaken in moments of despair, when I turn for you in the night to find you no longer there. End poem.
That was a lovely read. Thank you so much for that. And I will be with you momentarily. I seem to have lost myself. I do apologize. I pressed the wrong button and everything disappeared. That will be the way it goes. Yes, Stelina, I thought that was absolutely beautiful, as usual. You have such a lyrical way with these wonderful words that you use. I really enjoy it. Yes, I think we're very lucky to have one of you on. And you did that beautifully, Pam. You read that lovely. Really did. So Footprints in the Sand, that's for a start. We know how liable they are to be swept away, and you can see them, look, they're going away, way into the distance. Quite a long stride that person has, but very so dissipating like footsteps in the sand, walking away to another more alluring land. Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's a beautiful idea you got from this picture. That's lovely that they're off somewhere different, not necessarily better, but certainly different. But that's so sad at the beginning. To awaken in moments of despair, turn for you in the night, to find you no longer there. Oh, my goodness. Lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And next we have, here we have, Iron Tide.
Oh, may I please comment on Stelina's, right?
Oh, yes. Please do. Good heavens.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I thought this was absolutely beautiful, just a really heartfelt and emotive write, great rhyme and flow. I like how it speaks on those bittersweet memories of love, those kind of memories that in some ways you cherish because they were beautiful in the moment, but more so that they just hurt because there once was love, and now at some point, you know, it disappeared, it faded away. I really like the lines when it says the question, when did it fade? I can't recall the moment or hour, because it often seems like that in relationships, that, you know, you have this realization that it has turned sour, but you never quite realize when was that exact moment in the other person's mind or even in your own mind that it became you know, something that wasn't going to last. I also really like long, lonely days stretching afar like the ocean vast with poignant memories taunting from a halcyon past. Beautifully written and just very well done. So, all right.
Thank you, Pam. Sorry I missed you. I do apologize. I'm writing it down now so you'll have a tick against your name so I know that you've read it or you haven't. And I'll get it right soon. Yes, so we'll go on to the next one. And the next one is Irontad Ash Seasons by Lu Yu Wild Dove. Yes, Pam does have a great insight. You're quite right, Selena. That's why I like her to go first. I'm such a coward. Okay, here we are. Iron Tide, Ash Seasons by Luyu. Oh, lovely. Honeyed steamed attachments flowing. Designer's colors, agonized irises. Penetrating citron spiked planks. Carved ingrained memories. Hammering, designed remembrances. Bearing, bending love's commitment. End poem. And this is written to the prompt, Wagon Well and Parts. And it's supposed to be 22 words. Beautifully done. And Pam, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I really like the contest, the picture in the contest. That is really cool. And what a great take on the prompt. I tell you, there is something about Liu's writing where she can use imagery to really guide you on an emotional journey. And beautiful word choices all the way through it with only 22 words. I especially like penetrating citrine spiked planks, carved ingrained memories. Bearing, bending love's commitment. The idea that a commitment can be a beautiful thing, but it can also be something sad. And especially as your mind dwells upon the memories. I have to say, on an extra note, I always like how Lou spells honeyed, and I don't know if that's exactly how it's supposed to be spelled, but I think it's just a beautiful word. I've seen her use it before in other poems, and it's such a delightful word that gives, well, obviously a sense of sweetness and sensuality to a rite, you know. And I have no doubt it is actually how it's supposed to be spelled. I'm a horrible speller, but I like it. Every time I see that, I just smile, you know. But wonderful, wonderful write by Lou, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was beautifully said. Yes, it's a lovely word, isn't it? It seems to be even nicer than just honey. Honeyed, steamed
attachment. Yes, exactly.
Yes, it's beautiful. Exactly. And it's been done on purpose. So basically, honey's not just been dripping everywhere. Honey's been put there on purpose. But look at that wagon wheel. Look at the colors. So the rest, the background, gray, a little bit of black, a little bit of white. But then you've got, wow, this in-your-face, flame-colored wheel. I mean, it's just, oh, it's wonderful. I love the idea of it. That's what you call a pop of color, definitely. Never quite understood that pop of color stuff, but I understand it now. That's gorgeous. And as you say, as usual, beautifully, the words are just like velvet. They're lovely, really lovely. I like carved, ingrained memories, because it's true. I mean, you don't even have to think about it. If these are memories that have been with you for a long, long time, they are carved and they are ingrained. And it's there forever. And if it's a good memory, that's just a wonderful bonus. And hammering designed remembrances. Yep. But that last line, bearing, bending love's commitment, that's a little bit of a worry for me, because that doesn't sound as straightforward as we would like it to be. You know, I love you forever and ever. This is bending a little bit. Yeah. I love when thoughts are put into my mind and I'm thinking about the poem after I've left it, because there's that little question mark at the end there for me. Beautifully done, Luyu. I thought it was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Now we shall go on to our next. Have I got up already? No, I haven't. See, I get tied up in the wonderful words and I forget what I'm supposed to be doing. Now the next one we have is Mantra in the Mist. Here we go. Yes, here we are. I'm going to do a palm. Do, 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 do. I love that. Do, 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 do. I'm borrowing that for the gaps in my words.
Go for it.
Here we, I wouldn't. That's your signature tune. I like it. That's yours. So Mantra in the Mist by Kiku. And would you read this for us, please, Pam?
Absolutely. All right, here we go. Mantra in the Mist by Kiku. Imagine in this small countryside imagine in this small countryside chalet holds a floor mattress, a single wooden desk, an oil lamp, where you sit inert like a cloud on the still water, hesitant, threadbare, a companion made from oneself. But see, there is a woodcutter, and the golden aspens flicker from one's kiln, where wind smudges charcoal across white birches. The chant of cicadas, night color, the thin gaucher, cold pressed from summer's throat, a gibbous tryst, inverted sky, glazed as porcelain, end poem. Oh, that is absolutely beautiful, and I am so sorry for those words that I stumbled over.
It's never easy, is it, coming to something for the first time, because there's not every word in the world you're going to know, and I know exactly what you mean. It does happen occasionally, but not for you very often, so that's cool. So, yes, I thought this was absolutely lovely. Imagine in the small countryside chalet holds a floor mattress, a single wooden desk, an oil lamp where you sit inert like a cloud on the still water. That's lovely. So basically, you're just doing nothing. You're just sitting there. And then you start looking around you. And like a cloud on the still water, we've got hesitate, said be a companion made from oneself. But see, there is a woodcutter, and the golden aspens flicker from one's kiln. I like that. That is lovely. So there's more going on, not just a matter of sitting there. So we have, now this I like. The chant of cicada, night's colour, the thin gouache, cold press from summer's throat. That's a sort of a covering, I imagine. Thin plaster. I think it also can be something to do with cooking or cakes, but maybe it's spelled differently. I thought this was absolutely lovely. Glazed as porcelain. There's something about ceramics that I really, really love. So I'm presuming with the kiln and with the smudge of charcoal and the thin gouache, cold press from summer throat, that we're talking about somebody on a wheel making pottery. I love it. I tried it once and I thought it was wonderful. So I thought this is a very deep, very interesting poem. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And Pam?
Yeah, I really like this. I don't know why. I can't quite pinpoint it, but sometimes when I read a poem, a thought comes into my head, and I couldn't help but, for some reason, think of The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway when I read this, which I know is a very odd thought, but you know, I figured I'd share that. But I love the imagery in this, and how it has such a meditative, brings us into this moment where you feel lonely, you feel like there's no one or nothing around, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's the woodcutter, there's the aspen and the birch, and you know, there's the creation being formed in your hand. My paternal grandmother, she actually used to do ceramics, and she would always she would have certain ceramics that she created and painted herself for selling. But then, you know, we always did, like, the kids would get small, like, little knickknacks or Christmas ornaments to paint. And so I like how there's that mention of, as you were saying, flicker from one's kiln where wind smudged charcoal, the idea of creation. But it almost feels like a metaphor for the idea of you being the creation, of you being shaped into, you know, what you're meant to be. And I really like a gibbous tryst, inverted sky, glazed as porcelain. Those finishing touches that truly make that piece of pottery or that person the amazing work that they're supposed to be. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yes, I agree with you. There's nothing. It's lovely to create something. It really is. And we all have that creative spark within us. It's a matter of finding, you know, what you're good at, what you enjoy. And this was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Kiku. And now we're going on to the first of our poetry, our contest entries, various different quotes to write to. And obviously this is the first one we have. And it's Sapphire's Midnight by Betty Page. And if that's all right, I'll go ahead and read this one. Sapphire's Midnight. Magical, mystical blue, strewn midst millions of bright stars, shimmering in sweet moonlight. Full moon illuminating, wolves start howling eerily. Snowy owls glide way up high. Pure silence surrounds all, neon rainbows in darkness, behind velvet where we dance. And it's prompt 7. I really must get the prompts up so we can see, because they're going to make life an awful lot easier. So while I'm doing that, Pam, could I ask your thoughts on this, please? Yes?
Yeah. Well, just to let you know, prompt 7 is, what is your favorite time of day?
Oh, thank you. I should have looked at that first.
Yes.
It would make it so much easier. Yes. So that is lovely. But I'm still going to get them up because I'm looking at them before. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
I have to say, first of all, before I comment on the poem, kudos to you for coming up with those questions. We got rights in this contest that were quality and quantity because you came up with, I believe, let me check the number here, like what, 8 or something different? 8 different questions for people to be inspired by. And honest to goodness, I just thought that was a wonderful idea there for a contest. Very cool, Kate. And,
oh, thank you.
Man, I love this. There's such a beauty in the nighttime, you know, and Betty captures that so well in her brevity, answering the question, what is her favorite time of the day? And she embraces the beauty of the night, not only the sights, but also the sounds. I thought all 3 stanzas were just brilliant, but I especially liked that second stanza, full moon illuminating, wolves start howling eerily, snowy owls glide way up high. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yes, I agree totally. I love blue. It's like my favorite thing. I love sapphires. I love night. I love the nighttime. But this was just so pretty. And If you're away from man-made light, like if you go where I am, away up north to Glencoe or Auchtermuchty, which is another wonderful Scottish place, you see the sky unsullied. You see it clear and crystal clear, and there's thousands and thousands of stars. It just, I mean, we just don't see it when we're in the city because the electric light just, you know, cuts it all out, but it's beautiful. And if you're sitting by a campfire on a cold evening, there is nothing better. You have a burning hot front and a freezing cold back, and you're looking at the stars. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Oh, this is lovely. Pure silence surrounding all, neon rainbows in darkness, behind velvet where we dance. Beautifully put. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. And thank you for writing for the competition. I appreciate it a lot. Okay. Now, have you commented on this, Pam?
Yep.
Thank you. I didn't want to do the same thing again. So bad. Okay, now we'll go on to the next one of our contest. And we have Sweet Surrendering Slumber by Jenny the Deep. I'll be with you in a moment. It'll be there momentarily. Mm-mm. There we have it. Here we are. Sweet Surrendering Slumber by Jenny the Deep. And I wonder, you just read the last one, didn't you?
Actually, you did. I read Kiku.
Okay. I didn't put the tick. Right. Could you read this one for us, please?
Absolutely. Sweet Surrendering Slumber by Jenny the Deep. To stay asleep for all eternity, how sweet that would be for me. No nightmares to wake up to, night or day, day or night, it's what I do. Sleep all day for work would be my dream job, stress-free, at ease, unlike the mob. Only job hazard would be if I fell off the bed, won't feel it anyway with a knocked-out head. Always thought I was better off dead, fate disagrees. So let me sleep all day instead. End poem. Aw. I don't know. Somehow she manages to make that both funny and depressing at the same time. Wow.
Yes. You've got that spot on. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Basically, between the best time of the day and the best job, I think, is what she's writing to two different prompts on this one. Yes, I agree. If I could sleep all day, but there is jobs where you could sleep all day and have fun all night, but I don't really think we should be talking about them on a daytime show. But I thought this was very well done. Sleep all day for work would be my dream job. Stress-free, at ease, unlike the mob. Only job hazard would be if I fell off the bed. Won't feel it anyway with a knockout head. That's true. Lovely. As you say, got the two things going on at the same time. Hence, I suppose, using the two prompts. But I liked it. It was lovely. Very, very sweet and very clever. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment there, Kate. Yeah, I like this with the rhyme. And it's interesting, though, because it really does take you on an emotional up and down journey. Like, you feel like you get the biting humor, at least I do, and only job hazard would be if I fell off the bed, won't feel it anyway with a knocked out head. And then all of a sudden, right away, it brings you the line, always thought I was better off dead. And it's like, ouch, and it, you come into the idea of dealing with depression. And the idea, as I said earlier in another poem, that it oftentimes makes you want to just sleep all the time. I thought this was a great combination of the two prompts. I don't think I could be, a professional sleeper, but I will say if anyone's hiring to be like a chocolate taste tester, I am available. just putting that out there.
Oh my goodness, yes, I'm with you. Wow. Well, there must be somebody doing that job somewhere. I want
there
it
must,
quite right.
Yes. Yeah, have
yeah.
To figure, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
But great night by Jenny.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jenny, for joining our contest. It's great to see you right. Okay, now we have Now, I like this. Something Everyone Should Try at Least Once by Louis Woodfay. Oh, lovely name. Lou Woodfay. And I wonder if... Oh, I've lost myself again. Is it my turn? Is it your turn?
Yep.
You know?
Yes, it's your turn.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to give myself a tick. That might help me to remember what I'm doing. People out there must be thinking, what an absolute... It's my age, people. I can't help it. I'm a little old lady. It will get better, believe me. Okay, this one is Be Happy for This Moment. This moment is your life. Omar Khayyam. Lovely. You listen to all the news that then soak it all in while wondering why you always feel negative. All the self-talk we do without thinking endlessly, ever trying just once actually being happy? It starts with you and it begins inside, because there is no place where happy has to hide. Say, I'm happy every chance you get, and don't let your subconscious mind forget. If you haven't tried it, try it at least one time. It can turn your life into a poem. A poem that always rhymes. End poem. Oh, it was beautiful. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. First of all, I have to say I'm absolutely thrilled to see that Lou has entered our contest. It's been a while since I've seen her, and she is just a wonderful poet and a sweetheart of a person that I've enjoyed communicating with in the past. I really like how she takes the thought of finding true happiness within yourself, the idea that just saying the words will make a difference. Of course, the opening is great. You listen to all the news and soak it all in while wondering why you always feel so negative. Isn't that the truth? I mean, I do personally believe that we need to keep up on current events, but sometimes people have such an obsession with watching the news, and it all is so depressing. And you really have to learn when enough is enough. Walk away and find some positivity in your life. And I also really like, she says, say I'm happy every chance you get, and don't let your subconscious mind forget. You just have to keep saying those positive words over and over again and let it just sink in. So wonderful write by Lou, and very well done.
Yes, I agree. That was just so sweet and so clever and so good. I liked it. It's a lovely idea because, you know, you've got positive enforcement. And if you do remember to do it, I'm sure that you're going to get to the point where you say, oh, I haven't said that for a little while. I'm happy. And then you eventually will get to, I'm very happy. And will it lead to, I'm ecstatic? We don't know. We have to wait and see. This will be our experiment for the next 2 weeks till we meet again. We'll see if we've actually managed to become happier than happy, as we've said it. So that's between you and I and everybody listening. Let's see how well we can do. And for Lou and her brilliant idea. You listen to all the news and soak it all in. Oh, I don't listen to the news anymore. I feel that we're becoming desensitized to everybody else's suffering because you're, you know, possibly having a meal while you're listening to the news or watching the news, or you're in your car and you're concentrating on the driving and you're not really paying attention anyway. I just think, please begin to be nicer to each other. That would just be a wonderful thing. So I'm happy. I'm happy you wrote this. I'm happy I managed to read it. And thank you so much for entering the contest. It was brilliant. Ah, wonderful. We need to see more of that. Okay, the next one we have is Maguru no Madama by James George. And Pam, would you care to read this for us, please?
I will do my best. And forgive me if any of my pronunciation is off, but I will definitely try my best. All right. Maguro no Madama by James George. In Ikajaya, after working at Nihon University, my colleagues and I stopped at Izakaya's for a cold beverage and something to eat. A plate of mystery whisked by the table, followed by a double dog dare you that amused over native host Professor Sugasawa. Yoshi remarked, they are very fresh. I hope so, and ordered a plate for sharing. Naguaro no Midama must mean eyes without a head. Everything tastes great in Tokyo, washed down with cold beer and topped off with sake to be safe. End poem.
Oh, wonderful read. Thank you. This tickled my taste buds so much. It's so clever. Yes, I mean, and some really well done in your read, by the way. That was faultless. Beautifully done. I couldn't have done it. I wouldn't tell you that right now. I could have maybe got Yoshi, but that would have been my best. But look at that. That is written, you may have guessed, to the prompt of the weirdest thing you've ever eaten. And I think that has got, I thought it was an octopus tentacle to begin with. I thought it's been flattened out. It's been, basically. And he actually ate it. Clever. I hope he won his bet. My goodness me, that's ugly. I mean, you don't really want to eat food that's ugly to begin with, do you? Really? But there you are. A dare's a dare. Well done. And so beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. It was so funny. Topped off by sake. I don't blame you. Sake is lovely. If you get the right sake, it's beautiful. Magura na madama must mean eyes without head. Oh, it's just getting grosser. I'm sorry. It's just horrible. And Pam, your thoughts on this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I did enjoy this very much. You know, not necessarily the idea of eating eyeballs. I would like to say that if somebody offers me something, most things I'll try at least a bite of. But there, you know, I'm like one of those, like, you know those shows like Fear Factor where, like, some of the challenges have to do with eating strange things?
Yeah.
So, oh, my gosh, I would never get through some of those. And I have to agree, I love the humor in mm-hmm. the end lines with the idea that you really need to top it off with a cold beer and some extra sake just to be safe. And I like that he brings us into the moment, and especially where it says a plate of mystery whisked by the table, followed by a double dog dare you that amused our native host. You know, you can just see these people getting together and daring the visitor of the country. Hey, why don't you try this? And the amusement in the moment and the humor that they all shared. So just an excellent, excellent write by James George, and very well done.
Yes, I agree. And that was very well read, by the way. Well done. Okay, next one up is, next one, oh, I'll put it up earlier, that's what it is. It's What The by Randy G. And I will read this. What The, I like that. What The Beep. That should have been, that would have been a good one. What The Beep. I'm sorry, I just saw the picture. That is so cool, I want that. It's weird being the same age as old people. That's what I like. Go disgracefully into old age, kicking and screaming, that's what I say. Okay, Randy G, let's get into this. What The? My children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, grey hairs on my head, in my ears, and on my chin, the sounds I make when sitting down or getting up. And instead of whiskey, I have prune juice in my cup. Something strange has happened. It's so very clear. There's an old man looking back at me in my mirror. I start wearing a sweater even when it's not cold. These are some of the things that make me feel old. Oh, brilliantly done. Well done. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. Oh, it cracks me up. You know, great humor, wonderful rhyme. I too enjoyed that picture that he attached with the old man wearing the t-shirt that said it's weird being the same age as old people. great humor all the way through. You know, I especially like, and instead of whiskey, I have prune juice in my cup, and there's an old man looking back at me in my mirror, you know, and, I started wearing a sweater even when it's not cold. I get that because you see so many elderly people that they just, you know, have to wear sweaters all the time. But, yeah, it's a strange thing when you look in the mirror and you see those gray hairs or those lines and, you know, you just look and go, wow, who's that old person there? I think Randy just brought just a delightful sense of humor and irony to this particular question. So excellent write and very well done.
Unmute, sorry about that. I agree totally. What a great sense of humor. I loved it. I loved it. It's, you know, my favorite because it is so true. That third line in the first stanza, the sounds I make when sitting down or getting up. It's so, when you bend down to get something, oh my goodness, and you can hear it. Oh, it's so clever, very clever. And yeah, and the face in the mirror, that's quite a shock, first thing in the morning. I look my best first thing in the morning because I don't have my glasses on. I look better blurred. Yeah. I like this so much. And this is the kind of person you'd want to meet, isn't it? You'd want to go for a pint with this chappy. Certainly got a great sense of humor. Thank you so much for writing, Randy. And he obviously wrote to the prompt, What Makes You Feel Old? Yeah, very, very well done. Most enjoyable. Thank you so much. And now we have My Favorite Time of Day by Teresa Sesenkoff. And Pam, would you care to read this for us, please?
I would be happy to. Am I off mute? Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
Good for me. All right. I usually find the best way to answer that question is to ask it. Because,
yes.
You know, either somebody's going to respond or they don't respond and you know you're on mute. So, all right. Well, this is My Favorite Time of Day by Teresa Sesenkoff. And it goes like this. My favorite time of day, my most happy time of all, is when we go to bed and he holds me in his arms. It's my happy place when I feel the most safe. I listen to hear the music, the beating of his heart. I lay down my head and take a real deep breath, relieving the stress of your day, and my fears go away. It makes me feel as though this is all I need to make my world a happy place and smile on my face. End poem.
Oh, that was so sweet. That was lovely. Thank you, Teresa, for that. That's just lovely. You snuggle up in bed in a happy place. And the fact that you feel safe is wonderful. I lay down my head and take a real deep breath. I bet that's the deepest breath you've taken all day. Because, yeah, if you're getting anxious or you're stressed, your breathing becomes shallow and your chest becomes tight. So that relieving the stress of the day feeling must be wonderful. And yes, it would be all you need, somebody that you're that so happy with and you can trust and love as much as you obviously do. Wonderful. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was sweet and tender and enlightening. And I liked it. Thank you so much. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is lovely. It's so heartfelt. And I like that while it does reflect on a specific time of day, like the end of the day, the evening when you're going to bed, it's more about the person, you know, that makes that time of day special. And that idea of having that, as you said, love and trust, it's such a beautiful thing to have. And the idea, it speaks to me on the idea of that no matter how busy the two of you are throughout the rest of the day, at the end of the day, you make time for each other. And that's what makes the end of the day so great for her. So wonderful, right? And very well done.
Yes, I agree. Yes, because you can carry that with that feeling with you all day, can't you? Lovely. Getting some beautiful rights, aren't we? Such fun. Clever people out there.
We really are. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. And it's nice because by putting the questions up and having people write their answers in poetry form, we're not only getting beautiful poetry, we're getting to know stuff about our fellow poets.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I'm keeping notes, by the way, folks. Don't reveal too much. I'm cutting out the letters for the no, I won't go there. I'm being a bad girl again. Honestly. I should behave, Pam. I should behave. You have to tell me to behave. I need to act more my age than my shoe size. That's what I say. And now we have our next contest entry is Clone Brothers by Joe Braz. Clone Brother. And I will read this one. How long will man rule Earth? Deep into space, at what speeds will we find heaven? Or gag to discover no heaven, no creator, or touch God's face? A tangled wildlife, southern Utah, USA, millions of years old, a sentry, messenger, forecaster, lives, breathes, grows. Pando Aspen clone. Each tree bound by an enormous root system, one living plant. Okay, yeah, that must be part of the poetry. We're bound together as children of the universe. Stay bound after life here is over. Dust in the woods from the stars with Brother Pando. And that is written to the prompt, if you could be any type of plant or animal, what would you be? So thank you for that. And Pam, your thoughts.
This is a really intriguing and thought-provoking write on the idea. It seems almost spiritual in the idea of the connection between all of life and how far we can go within the universe to discover beyond ourselves. I really like A Tangled Wildlife, Southern Utah, USA, millions of years old, a century messenger, forecaster, lives, breathes, grows, Pando Aspen clone. The idea of being one of the oldest life forms on Earth to have seen so much, to have seen all the joys and the flaws of humanity, and to have touched life in such a way, really a wonderful, thoughtful write on what it must be like to be that oldest life form on Earth, that Pando tree, and to have experienced so much, but at the same time not, like, you know what I mean, like, because, you know, with the idea that a tree can't really, you know, interact, but you almost feel like there's a spirit to them that takes note of everything that's going on around them. So wonderful write and very well done.
I agree. I do have a real love of trees because of the very fact that they're there. They're supplying us of what we need. They're keeping everything going, and people don't really think that much of them. I think trees are wonderful, and I agree with you. It is very possible that they do have. They may not be aware, but they're there when things are happening, and what's happening to the earth around them will affect them as well. You know, if things are not as sterile and as sweet and the earth isn't as lovely as it should be, it's going to affect the poor trees and all the plants and everybody, I suppose, as well. But I'm thinking about trees here. So Pando is the oldest. That is wonderful. Now, they say that mushrooms, because of their very fibrous roots, can basically touch each other and communicate when things are going wrong, which would be interesting, wouldn't it? Yes, I thought
that
this was
interesting.
Yeah, cool. Because what's happening at one end will reverberate through to the other, and it will be a case of eyes down, folks. Somebody out here looking for mushrooms. Don't let them see you. I've gone out looking for mushrooms and never dared eat any of the mushrooms that I've found. I don't know if they're safe or not, but I just like finding them. And this is telling you that you can go as far as you need to go into space. You might find an answer, you might not. It would be great if there was, at the end of that flight, something that justifies everything that we believe. You know, life is for living, and what's for you won't go past you, and you can always believe that things are being done for the best. And let's hope that is the case. But I think this is very clever. I love the fact that he told us about the trees. And life, stay bound after life here is over. Oh, yes. Dust in the woods from the stars. Yeah, that's true as well. We have so much coming through our atmosphere and disintegrating from all over the place. And we're lucky that most of these things are small and can become burnt up or fragmented before they can do any harm. Clone Brother, I thought, was a lovely title, very clever title. So thank you for sharing that with us. That was great. And now let's go. I thought I had this one set up, and obviously I've not, as usual. See, I get engrossed in what these wonderful writers are writing, and I forget what I'm doing. So bear with me, people. I'll be with you momentarily. And you can hear what I'm doing. I'm clicking away here like a little mad person. And we have Oh, wonderful. We have Once I Ate Grass by Orange Sage. Oh, that's so cool. And it's my turn to read. I'll sound confident. It's my turn to read. Once I Ate Grass by Orange Sage. Not because I thought I was a cow, but I was watching a cow eating grass, plucking it up with her teeth, making work of it, chewing. So I took myself down to all fours like her, picked some long blades of grass like her, and found it became stuck between my teeth or went down stringy and was rather tasteless. I didn't think I'd try it again, and I never have. End poem. That's wonderful. That was so wonderful. Oh, you can just see a child do it. I hope she was a child when you did it. I can see a child doing that. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, I like this. I like this. I do have to say before I comment on the poem, I just realized, Kate, that last night on Twisted Tuesday, people heard Pam and Kate. Today, right now, they're hearing Pam and Kate. And later tonight on The Art of Seduction, they're going to be hearing Pam and Kate. And, oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I hope there's not such a thing as too much of a good thing, because I think people are just about getting that, too much of a good thing.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't realized. Oh, flip. I'm sorry, people.
Yep.
I'll have a personality transplant for this evening, and I'll be ultra serious. I'll put on my serious face. I'll put on my serious glasses, and I'll be laughing as usual. Don't worry about it. Oh, dear.
You and I will both have to start bringing out our different personalities. That way people get some variety.
Yeah, you know, Lulu LeGlass, hello. How are you doing? This is the night of seduction.
There you go.
Come on in. I'll do that one. I like that one. Okay.
But I have to say, I really like this write by Orange Sage. And one of the things I like that people do in brevities sometimes, you'll see, is the title becomes part of the poem. And I think oftentimes with any poem, but especially a brevity, it's important to utilize the title. And so I like that, which the title, Once I Ate Grass, and then leading into this poem, not because I thought I was a cow, but I was watching a cow eating grass, plucking it up with her teeth. And I get that. I get that. All the way through, this has great imagery, wonderful humor that brings us into the moment. And I too have tried grass as a child. I also tried dog food. I remember being a little kid and thinking that I wanted to eat the dog food to see why the dogs liked it so much. And I still can't figure it out, but, hey, it works for dogs. oh my gosh, she just brings us into the reality of the moment. So I took myself down to all fours like her, picked some long blades of grass off like her, and found it became stuck between my teeth. Oh my goodness, what an experience. And I'm so glad that Orange Sage shared this with us. It's very well done.
I agree. It was. I like the humor we're getting. This is also great because, yes, there's a lot of things going on in life that we may be shaking our heads at or worrying about. But a little bit of humor, my goodness me, it goes a long way. I have never tried that, by the way. I don't think I will now either. Once I ate grass, no, I haven't ever. Mind you, I've never been that close to a cow also. So that would make it a little bit difficult, wouldn't it? I was in a town. Not many cows about. Beautifully done, Orange Sage. I really enjoyed this so much. Thank you for entering the contest with us. And we enjoyed it. Thank you. And next we have Robin Redbreast by Silent Tree. It's Selena. Woof, woof. you dog. Cool. And yes. Pam, would you care to read this for us, please? Or have you already read? I'm sorry.
Oh, I did? Okay. Geez, now we're both lost.
I think it was me last. So we'll go with that. We'll start from there. You're next and I'm next. Okay, cool.
All right. Robin Redbreast by Silent Tree. to perch robin redbreast in a cypress trees, in cypress trees glide on the crested scents of bluest skies, frolic old oak forests and laid cereal fields, nest the hay barn lofts of rye barley grains, neath a lattice labyrinth of rib cage rafters, sing of lost songs, straw threads cast astray, abreast brick chimneys pale hickory smoke, to dine rich garden feasts of snail canapes, as bathed wax wings dance dust bowl soils, lay beak preen feathers atop a broken cage. End poem.
Thank you so much. You read that so beautifully. Robin Redbreast. I have one that comes and perches on the fences outside my kitchen every single day. And it is the prettiest little thing. And it bobs its little head to me. And I, like a twit, bob my little head back. It's so gorgeous. Oh, I love it. And obviously, it's been coming for years and years. So it must be, I don't know how many generations of them have been sitting on the same fence in the same place. So cute. Yes. I like this a lot. I love it. It's got such a lovely movement and sway to it. Sing of lost songs, straw threads cast astray, abreast brick chimneys, pale hickory smoke, to dine rich garden feasts of snail canopies. Okay, you lost me now. As bathed wax wings dance dust bowl soils, lay beak preen feathers atop a broken gate. Lovely, it really is. I love to see them washing themselves in the dust. It's so cute. They do a little dance and they cover themselves in dust to keep their feathers nice. Yeah, Robin Redbreast is one of my favorite birdies. And that this is written beautifully, telling us all about is the nest in the hay barns. Oh, rye barley grains. Clever move. Got food on. So yes, really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. And Pam, have I had
I like this. Not yet, but I
good.
Really like this one. I think the robin redbreast was a great choice of an animal to want to be. I like robins because they seem so cheeky and confident, you know, with the way that they just hop around and their chests seem puffed out. I really like the imagery in this and the nice gentle touch of alliteration with Neath a Lattice Labyrinth of Ribcage Rafters, Sing of Lost Songs, Straw Threads Cast Astray. You know, the one, you know, sound flows really beautiful into the next. And I really think she's captured both the busy and delightful personality of the robin redbreast. So wonderful write by Silent Tree and very well done.
Yes, I agree. The cute little bird. And as you say, the confidence. It just, bops about all over the place. So cool. Okay, next one up we have A Hush All Over the World by Liquid Mind Forever. And I shall read this. A Hush All Over the World. When blue herons fly off into the setting sun, and day has run its course and night shall come, the blistering heat will cease and retreat beat, a path into complete surrender, and here we'll meet. We'll be discreet, bathe our smelly oily feet, delete, complete, commiserate as we state our gratitude with amplitude, then repeat, fluttering, flapping motions of winged flight abate. Wait quietly, cogitate as we impregnate, even tied with silence, thence meditate our fate. End poem. And that was written to Favorite Time of Day. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this was beautiful. It's interesting because I remember we read Liquid Mind Forever last night, and in that poem she had mentioned the blue heron. Which I had mentioned was one of my absolute favorite birds. There's just such an elegance to them. They almost seem, you know, like as they stand still and create their wing shade to draw in fish, like they're meditating. And I like how this speaks on the quiet, you know, that you find at dusk. And, you know, I think I'm trying to see like an exact moment, but, you know, to me it feels like either the very beginning of morning or the very end of the evening, evening tide. There you go. I was looking, I knew there was an exact word that was going to bring it in, you know, even tide with silence, the idea of not like the middle of the night, but where the sun has gone down and you're at dusk and things have started to, the air has started to cool. You know, the certain animals that come out at that time of the night have come out, the sights and the sound, you know, and I like how she has this touch of reality. We'll be discreet, bathe our smelly, oily feet, delete, complete, commiserate as we state our gratitude with amplitude, then repeat. Great inner and end rhyme. And also a reminder that, you know, you can, you know, the day is filled with all this hard work and, you know, it's time to relax, put up your tired, smelly feet. Relax your sore body and mind and just let yourself be content in the moment, you know, and that's really, I think, what this is about, being content in the moment, no matter what the rest of the day was like. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yes, I agree. Definitely. That is my favorite time. If you're in a really hot country and the sun's gone down and it's, as you say, slightly cooler air, and then you can start to get the baked smell, baked herbs smell of heat being released from all these different plants that have had the sun down on them all day long, and you get that beautiful smell. I like it. I love nighttime. I really do. It hides a multitude of sins, but it does... You just automatically relax, don't you? It depends, obviously, what you're doing, where you are, and who you are. But you do relax because it's now evening and it's our time. And we can just lie down and enjoy it and think about the day or whatever. But it is time to meditate our fate. I like that last line. Even tied with silence, then meditate our fate. Something very spiritual about that. And You think, yes, you could, even I could do that. I could sit down and meditate for a little while at that particular time of day because it's a winding down. So, yes, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Liquid Mind Forever. I enjoyed it immensely. And now that takes us on to might be the last one of the day, but anyway. So, Wonder What Talk by Angel Blue 36. And would you care to read this for us, Pam?
I would be happy to. Let me just bounce over to Late Night Poets and put the link in there, and then I will be more than happy to read. All right. And this is Wonder What Talk by Angel Blue 36. Two gentlemen seemed to be lost, was tough question raised, and talk paused. Immersed to the world of thoughts, invokes my inquisitive mind. What incited the artist to portray expression of amazement or a play, perplexed or state of trance, pictures different imagination, pens the poet, rakes the intellect, radiating multifarious connation, end poem.
Oh, thank you, Pam. That was a beautiful read. Unfortunately, we don't actually have the prompt that this was written to, Wonder What Talk. I'm trying to work it out, but I don't think I'll be able to. So
well,
just...
you know what it is I'm pretty sure what Angel Blue 36 did was she wrote to the header picture in the contest, which was not one of the prompts, you know. So, you know, we can't really connect it with one of the prompts, but it is a nice write to the header picture of the contest.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yes, I mean, let's face it, we're not written in stone. If that's what you want to take as your prompt, go with it. because it's all about your imagination. I've looked through prompts before and thought, well, I can't write to that, and I haven't got a clue about that one, and that's not really. So, yes, you can understand, can't you? You think, ah, I'll write about this one. I've got something in my head about this one. And it was beautifully written. Two gentlemen seemed to be lost with tough questions raised, and talk paused. Immersed in the world of thought, invoked my inquisitive mind. What incited the artist to portray expressions of amazement or a play? Yeah, it's quite right. I agree with that. You sometimes wonder where people get their ideas from, where things arrive from. Is it experience? Is it a random thought? Is it a lightning bolt? We don't know. Each one of us is different where that's concerned. And each one of our lives will also dictate what it is that we feel excites us enough to put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, whichever way. Pen to paper sounds so much nicer, doesn't it, than fingers to keyboard. By the way, I'm learning calligraphy. That's why I talked about the pens there, because, it's amazing. Oh, it's such fun and hard work. So, yes, I thought this was very well read, and I really, very well read, obviously, very well written, and I enjoyed it. And I can see the point of what on earth was going through the minds of these people and what were they talking about. It's interesting, isn't it, when you can never see the actual questions or words or conversation. You just have to look at their faces and wonder what it is. I like that viewpoint. Well done, Angel Blue. I really enjoyed that. And Pam?
Yeah, it's a wonderful write to the prompt, not the prompt, but to the header picture. I like how it reflects on the idea that when you take photography or paintings or any type of visual artwork, different minds will reflect on it in different ways. You know, the poet perhaps pens a rite of imagination or emotion, while the intellect, you know, will think over the idea of perhaps a purpose or maybe even a deeper, a literal message within, mm-hmm. you know. So people have different ways of thinking and different ways of viewing artwork, you know, that in the way that it speaks to their mind or their heart. I really like immersed in the world of thoughts invokes my inquisitive mind. You know, wonderful, right? And very well done.
Thank you. Yes, I completely agree. As you say, that's what makes life interesting and exciting and different, is because we're all interesting, exciting and different in different ways. And I like that. I like people's minds, and I love to see how people react to things, nature versus nurture, and how things, one question asked of three people will give you three completely different answers. I like that. I like the complexity of the human mind and the fact that we don't know what most of it's used for. I like that. It's a good one. One day we might find out what that bit of the back's used for. Certainly not for sitting on, that's for sure. Okay, I don't think we have time for another one, my dear, much as I'd love to. It wouldn't be fair because we wouldn't be able to give our views enough time.
Kate?
Yes?
We still have 31 minutes before the show ends.
You're kidding me.
I'm sorry, but yes, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, thank you.
So, yes,
I was thinking to myself
that
it's gone quite fast.
I think we have time for at least a couple more.
Oh, I think we might be able to pull something. Thank goodness for you, my dear. Honestly, I completely missed the time. I thought, oh, dear. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm wasting time talking about my stupidity. Oh, my goodness.
I've done
the
same thing before, so I get it.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, they should put me out to pasture, I swear to God. Okay. Now we have The Loop by Lady Braveheart. And all the excitement, I've forgotten who does what here. Come on. I think it's me to read. It could be you, but I think it's me. Well, go with me anyway. And
it is
you. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank goodness my brain's working a little bit. Now it won't open. Why will you not open, you? Give me a moment. I'm stupid. Thing's not working. Open. Nope. I'll refresh. With you, open. Psh. Nope. I've got a problem. Over to you, Hushin. Pam, would you read this, please, while I try and figure out what's happening with my stupid computer?
Sure, no problem. This is
Thank
The
you.
Loop by Lady Braveheart. Paying heed to her saga. Inspecting the pattern, I found greed in the core, the circular situation, and the helpless, unheard whimper, found a shift to formality. Oh, the same eyes adore now. Understanding is among rhetorics. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and read the AN because I think that's interesting and does a great explaining of the right. Many times when I hear the familiar household problems of women, irrespective of their social and financial conditions, I feel feminism is still a distant tale in many households. We subtly undermine some of the daily struggles of married women within their homes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, I've lost you.
Do you want me to go into commenting?
Yes, please, if you would. I'm so struggling with this thing here.
I'd be happy to. I think this is a wonderful brevity. I like how it uses imagery and metaphors, and in the same way, it's relatively simple in its language, some really straightforward language, you know, with I found greed in the core, the circular situation. You know, I think for many women, it's relatable. I personally feel as far as women's rights and, you know, we've come quite a ways. I mean, you know, I personally see how throughout history there has been this sense of growth within, you know, women's rights at being spoken up for. But sometimes, you know, and I find this relatable because I've been in this situation because sometimes, well, and us women even do it to each other, you know, but, you know, society tends to judge women. Like if you choose to be a stay-at-home mom, you get judged for that. If you choose to be a working mom, you get judged by that. If you choose, you know, just not to have kids, you get judged for that. But I remember one time walking to the store with my youngest child and the other three were at home with their dad at the time. And I ran into this guy that I knew from high school and he asked me what I was doing. And I said, oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I have four kids. And he said, and his response, and I kid you what not, was, so you're doing nothing right now. I was like, I don't think you effing heard me, you prick.
Oh, my God. I don't blame you.
I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I have four kids, you know.
What? Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
And thankfully, that's not the majority of the people. Majority of the people I know, you know, have a good heart and you know, for appreciating what a stay-at-home mom does or even what a working mom does. Sadly, there are still people like that in the world, and I like the title, the loop, and the phrase, the circular situation, because with those lines, that title and that line, Lady Braveheart reminds us that it feels like just doing the same things over and over again with no appreciation. So excellent, right, and very well done.
Yeah, I agree totally. It's a very clever way to put it, basically, to make it so obvious that people should realize that it is not an easy job being a woman in a man's world. And that's what we are. We, you know, we will eventually gain equality, I hope. But even if we do it, if we have it in the workplace now, and it becoming better and better, it's still in the heads of people. Women are second rate, second class, second whatever you like. And it's not meant. I know it's not meant. It's just a common occurring theme that's been allowed to carry. I mean, I left school at 16 and a half. I had been put into a class a year older than I was, so I couldn't leave at the time they were leaving, so I had to go on for another year. And I went straight into electronics. I was paid half of what the men were paid. I was working, doing the same job as them. I was actually training guys to do the job that I was doing, and they were getting twice as much as I was. And I fought with the other women and fought for equal pay for women. And boy, was it great when we got it. It was like a miracle. You know, you actually had some money in your pocket. And I understand totally. I've always worked in a man's world. I've always been the only female in a group of men working. And so I've got used to it. It doesn't really bother me too much. But other people, younger people, probably find it harder. And so I love this kind of poetry that points the finger, that in a very subtle way tells you that you're wrong. It's not an easy job. And I like my favorite line, and the helpless, unheard whimper, which is probably what you gave when that guy, when you went, oh, for goodness sake, again, you know.
Yeah, right. I think it might have been more like a growl, but yeah, something like that.
Yep. It's very hard. It's very hard because if men complain, they're complaining. If women complain, they're nagging. What's that about? And the names they have for women, the nicknames they have for women. You know, a man is a bit of a lad, woman's, you know, and all these different things. That a man's side of it is great and a woman's side of it is not so great. So it's not nice. I don't like it. I'm going to come back as a man. Definitely. Definitely doing that.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was wonderful. Thank you. Great discussion. Loved it a lot. Thank you for that. And now we have Should We by Random Scribbler. And should we go to me? No, we should go to you. Yes. And Pam, would you care to read this for us?
I would be happy to. Let me just grab that and put it over in Late Night Poet.
Yeah. I would be very pleased if somebody's keeping note here about how often I'm wrong. I'd love to know. There must be somebody going, no, it wasn't your turn. It was Pam's turn. What are you doing here? I would love that. Please let me know. Okay, thank you. Over to you again, Pam.
All right. Well, this is Should We by Random Scribbler. We often complain. The house of living is no more habitable. The world is not a home we care for. We are not happy. So people, should we desert this domicile and move to the dwelling of the dead, make our abode in the cemetery? Perhaps that would cheer us up a little, would it? End poem.
Oh, brilliant. My goodness. That beautifully read, by the way, beautifully read. I enjoyed it so much. But that is a clever little piece. I sounded quite patronizing there. I'm so sorry, Random Scribble. I did not mean to do that. I was trying to read at the same time. I loved it. I thought it was so. I love the aspect of, you know, should we? We often complain. We are not. I love this. The house of living is no more habitable. This world is not a home we care for. We are not happy. So people, should we desert this domicile and move to the dwelling of the dead? Make our abode in the cemetery. Well, you know, if you were where I am destined to go, it will be pretty warm, I imagine. That would be cool, or hot. Perhaps that would cheer us up a little, would it? Don't know. Is it better the life you know than the life you don't? Better the future you know than the future you'll never know? I don't know. It's a really good question. But we do often complain, and we very rarely get to the bottom of it and get an answer. I thought that was incredibly clever. Random Scribbler, it was just a delight. Thank you so much for that. And Pam?
Yes, I really liked this one. I thought it was a beautiful, you're right, but it had a really just strong, forceful, and thought-provoking use of language, you know, and especially how she put the question in there. And the exclamation point. So, you know, I really like the title of the question, the should we? And this statement, you know, this house of living is no more habitable. This world is not a home we care for. We are not happy. That idea that, you know, people, you know, and I think it can be taken a couple different ways. Obviously, very much about, you know, death and thinking, you know what, life should just end because, you know, it's miserable. But you also think of those people who are always like, I don't like what's going on in my country. You know, I don't like the leadership. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I'm going to move to Canada. And not to get all political, but, you know, I mean, and I'm sure Canada, absolutely, I'd love to visit Canada. I'm sure it's a wonderful place. But, you know, I feel like too oftentimes, whether it's literally moving to somewhere else, and you know, and I don't mean to get too political, or I hope I don't, but or too, like, on my soapbox, whether it's moving to somewhere else or it's, you know, that the idea of life ending, it shouldn't be just to escape your problem, but rather for a deeper, you know, richer way, you know. And but yeah, the thought that, you know, people so oftentimes think that the answer is death, when really the answer is changing your mindset in the circumstances you're at in the moment. So wonderful, wonderful, right, and very well done.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I totally agree, definitely. I have noticed that we only have one left in our open poetry. It looks like we've got through all of the contests and the carryovers. So, Pam,
yeah, I was going to go ahead and grab one if you needed me to.
Yes, please, if you would, that'd be great. I'll just put Hope Souls up now. That's our open poetry. And here we are. And I'll just paste this in late night as well for you while you're busy, okay? No problem.
Okay.
That's done. I hope so. Send that one. And I will read this and give you time to find something. No, it was easy when you're under stress, I don't think. So here we have Sakura by Hope Soul. Buds of my passion, tightly held in your hands, the hidden petals before they bloom, keep this part of me always, never forget what you hold. End poem. Oh, just lovely. Sakura. Now, we don't have... Oh, it's open poetry, of course we don't have. Yeah, this is lovely. And so I'll just comment on it while you let me know when you're ready. Buds of my passion, tightly... Okay, great. Tightly held in your hands. The hidden petals before they bloom. That's just lovely. I like it. It's a thought of you don't know all of me yet. There is more of me than you know. And you don't forget that there is part of me that you don't know yet, and it might be wonderful discovering it. So yes, I thought this was very, very sweet. And obviously, you know, the passion is there, what we like. But yeah, I like it. I thought it was lovely. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, let me, sorry, I'm just grabbing the link to my poem. And so I'll have that ready just to post it. All right. So this, as always, you know, a beautiful write by Hope Soul. And I'm always glad when she shares her poetry with us. Great imagery, great, only a few lines and so much said. Buds of my passion tightly held in your hands, the hidden petals before they bloom. Keep this part of me always, never forget what you hold. And I like how this is both the emotional and the sensual part of lovemaking. How the idea that the idea that you know, somebody physically hold your body in their hand, but at the same time, they hold your spirit. They hold the part of yourself that you don't share with necessarily everyone. Because it is so personal, and it isn't something perhaps you in the past you've trusted, you know, your most intimate secrets with somebody else and they betrayed you. And here you're reminding your partner, your lover, you know, I have entrusted you with this part of myself, so please, you know, it's fragile, don't hurt it. A beautiful and emotive write by Hope, and very well done.
Thank you. That was lovely, lovely comment. Yes, it was lovely. Okay, I haven't got yours as yet because I was looking on
right.
The brevity
well,
page.
What I did yeah, I just grabbed it myself, and I was going to go ahead and put it up in the rooms. So
excellent. Thank you. Excellent. Go for it.
And I do apologize. I don't have the exact word count, but I know it's not a particularly long poem. It might be a slightly borderline as far as word count, but I do think it's right around 100 words. So,
excellent.
You know.
We're not going to count because you're helping us out, and mine is much longer. So please go for it, babe.
All right. This is A Wilderness of Locusts, and it goes like this. I am the orgasmic ecstasy of pearl gates, a lioness devouring the honey that drips from severed heads of holy hermits. Stagnant dogmatism falls from gaping lips that tells no secrets. A desert sun burns the goat's hair, sacrificial smoke assaulting every inhale, daring to be birthed. You don't love me. Hell, you can't even pronounce my name. Stumbling over syllables like a drunk sinner memorizing the Torah. You're simply hypnotized by pendulum breasts and erect nipples pointing to your mommy issues. Tell me something. How does it feel to know you are nothing more than a swarm of locusts stripping the crop your brother watered? He is dust in the grave, and still every night she compares your temple to his and finds you lacking as an idol. End poem.
Oh, that was beautiful. I really enjoyed that. Lovely. A Wilderness of Locusts. Good picture, by the way. There's a little man's head there. Cool. Okay. I thought this was, I am the orgasmic ecstasy of pearl gates, a lioness devouring the honey. Ah, that drips from severed heads of holy hermits. Yes, I like this. This is a comment about the fact that men will be holy hermits and you will be somebody that is there. You don't love me. Hell, you can't even pronounce my name. That is a brilliant telling line, because it's so true, isn't it? We are just a package, stumbling over syllables like a drunk sinner memorizing the Torah. Oh, you are so clever. I love this. And you're simply hypnotized by pendulum breasts and erect nipples. That is just so true, isn't it? Not that I want to be sexist in any way, you understand? Because men do have their good points. A good point in most of their cases. But yes, and that last stanza, he is dust in the grave and still every night she compares your temple to his and finds you lacking as an idol. Oh, damning with faint praise. I like that a lot. Very, very good. Thank you so much. And would you like to make a comment about your poetry at all?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. This was actually written to that prompt, which was a painting of the dancing of Salome. The story of Salome is that she danced so provocatively for King Herod that he offered her anything she'd wanted. And on behalf of her, I think it was either stepmother or mother, she requested the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter, which she got. And so that's why there's a lot of biblical references in this, because of the fact that, John the Baptist was a hermit. He lived on the desert. He ate honey, and wore a garment of goat's hair. But it takes us back to the biblical times, but it also is a reflection on current times. And as you were pointing out, the idea of how women are treated, as sex objects, and the end lines were supposed to be a note of contempt in the idea because, not nowadays, but back in biblical times, especially Old Testament times, it was a common practice with the Hebrew people that the brother, like if a man died and he hadn't had any children with his wife, his brother would then marry his wife and give her a child. And so within those end lines, I was creating the idea that this man had married his brother's wife, and she found him lacking, both physically and emotionally to provide for her. And, the line, hell, you can't even pronounce my name, stumbling over syllables like a drunk sinner memorizing the Torah, is the idea that you'll never completely understand me. I liked because of the topic and because of the prompt, I wanted to mix both the idea of the biblical times and current times. So. Thank you very much for allowing me to share that.
Yes, I loved it. I like the way, as you say, it did point to the fact that he wasn't anything like his brother. I like that a lot, and his mommy issues. Yeah, it's really great. I like it so much. And still she compares you and finds you lacking as an idol. I like that so much. People, it's nice to have that kind of thing pointed out to us. I love that, giving us the aspect of what used to happen. I love learning. I don't do much with it, has to be said, but I do enjoy it. Okay, I put mine up, and I put them up in both boards, so save you looking for it. And this one is called Imbalance. And I love that picture, that woman's face. Ah, right, so Mother Nature's daughter had come of age with her goddess mother's fierce convictions. Now her opaline eyes gazed with dismay upon an earth wounded and scarred beyond belief. In centuries past, man worshipped nature's glory. Season did not come and then go unremarked. Due deference was given to mother's plan. Winter, cleanse. Spring, sow. Summer, reap. Autumn, clear. Until man, as anything evolving might, decided to plunder other countries to supplement their larder. Mother Nature saw her daughter's distress at the way man disrupted and destroyed with impunity, so explained, "Free will allows this. I can do nothing until an imbalance occurs, then floods and storms will decimate and level all." End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate, and I'm glad you brought this right out to read it. That particular prompt for that contest I ran, I was just wandering around on the internet looking at images, and I saw this, and it really spoke to me, this elfin woman with her green eyes and her flaming orange hair and the leaves and the berries all strewn throughout her hair and the intense look. I thought, I wonder what people are going to get out of this. And, your take on this was just absolutely wonderful. I thought it had amazing imagery and a wonderful write on the coming of age of Mother Nature's daughter. Like, you know, oftentimes we write of Mother Nature, and we use the word mother, but, you know, because she is a mother of all, and, but you literally write as her, as a mother, as having a daughter, and from the perspective of her daughter who is coming of age, who is struggling to understand how humanity is allowed to be so cruel to both each other and the earth. And what I like is, because I think that there are quite a few religions, or even if you're not religious, belief that oftentimes humanity is given free will, and what we do with that free will is on us, you know, and you can just feel the contempt and the anger of Mother Nature's daughter as she with the lines, now her opaline eyes gaze with dismay upon an earth wounded and scarred beyond belief. And then the idea that at the end, Mother Nature saw her daughter's distress at the way man disrupt and destroy with impunity, so explained, free will allow this. I can do nothing until an imbalance occurs, then floods and storms will decimate and level all. That is a powerful ending, and a great on the idea of natural consequences. So, yeah, we are given free will. By whatever power you believe gives it to you, we have free will. And what we do with it, you know, that's our choice, but we have to understand that there are consequences to choices, and that will eventually come to us. So just a brilliant write and very well done. And do you want to say anything about
well,
the
not
poem?
Really not really, apart from the fact that I love that picture so much. When I saw it, you know, I said to you before, sometimes you look at prompts and quotes and you think, no, I can't do that one. This one immediately. And because she didn't look old enough to be Mother Earth, I decided she had to be the daughter, because she had to come in there somewhere. And then all the foliage and things around her just pointed to the daughter of Mother Nature. So I enjoyed it. And I'll tell you what I enjoyed. We shouldn't blow our own trumpet, and I'm not doing that. But I was looking at the thinking of the seasons, and I thought, everybody writes winter, spring, summer, autumn. Let's change it up a little bit. Let's make it a little bit different. Make it have a purpose within the year. So winter cleanses and spring sows, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of enjoyed that, because it was a different slant for me. It made me think, you know, that's what it does, of course. Summer you reap and autumn you clear. And I enjoyed that a lot. It made the poetry speak to me a little bit more than I had. And it was great to sort of pluck that from nowhere. So, yes, I enjoyed this one a lot.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. And great show today.
Yes. We didn't muck up. Well, I didn't muck up too much, and you didn't muck up at all. So we're doing well. Let's average that out, shall we? It's been a wonderful show. And thank you so much. Thank you for being there. You're such an angel. You're always there to help. And it is very much appreciated. I hope you know that.
Absolutely. And I'm always happy to help. And, you know, it's good to have Stelina hanging on the board, you know, as often as she could. And, Yep, and of course, all the people that wrote for the show, just wonderful.
We are very lucky. We've got lots of clever people. Isn't it great? And Selena, my dear, as usual, a delight. I love your little comment. I'm sorry I don't often manage to make any answers back, because, as I've said before, I get myself a little bit fraught trying to do things right and end up doing them wrong. But I love looking at your comments. It's so funny. I like that one. Sorry, I was AWOL back now. I like it so much. It was clever. So, yes, and Pam, thank you. And thank you to all the people who joined in with the contest. We had great fun doing it. It was fun. And we'll be right back after this announcement.
Have a good day, Kate.
Yes, you too, my darling. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Hopefully see you in a fortnight. Cheerio, bye.